And welcome to another insightful episode of Creatives Chat, episode 51, featuring Eileen. Join us as we chat about who knows what and why. Our show shall begin now.
Streaming from Retro Earth Studio and brought to you by
WeAreHistorically.com. Conscious Human Apparel, and
learn to play jazz piano like a pro by a pro with Jazz Piano Pro Essentials at jazzpianopro.com.
Hi, I'm Rusty.
I'm Peter.
And Peter, tell everyone who we have on our show today.
Rusty, our guest is an astrologer that's been in business for over 30 years, host of the Jupiter Rising radio show Saturdays at 11 a.m. on 1150 a.m. KKNW. She's the author of The Titanic Astrology, The Grand Design of a Famous Shipwreck. She's a busy woman working with clients because freelance writing and public speaking. I'm excited to have this powerhouse psychological astrologer, dare I say forensic astrologer, Eileen Grimes on the show.
Wow, everybody. Let's meet Eileen.
And Eileen, thank you so much for coming on the show today. How are you doing?
You're so welcome. I'm having fun.
I love it. Well, just to let the listeners kind of get a little bit of an understanding about you and your works, what would you describe yourself as in terms of your profession, your show, your books, your writing, all of it?
Okay, let me think. It is sort of a broad encompassing sort of perspective. Yeah. The first thing I do is I call myself a forensic astrologer.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was due to the last book that I just wrote. Well, it was 12, 14 years ago now. And I wrote about being a forensic astrologer, basically taking a question, asking a question about something that is been brought from a higher place, you know. So to answer the question, you have to do a lot of work to answer it.
Yeah.
You know, and so my question that I had was, there was a situation with the Titanic disaster where there was planetary aspects that happened consecutively all the way through that event, all the way through the people that were on the ship, people that were also connected to Titanic sort of projects that happened later on after the Titanic sank. They all had the same signature in their birth charts. And I thought, well, what's the odds of that happening? like that much? You know, right. It was really almost minuscule. And it took me 7 years to write the book because I kind of fell over this by accident. You know, what I love about stuff like this is that it's sort of like necessity has you look at something, you know, it's staring right in front of you. Well, look at all this, and this. It's all connected to that, you know. And so I researched a whole bunch of people, over 1,000 people on the ship. And then also people that were involved with the ship, people who were actors and actresses that were in movie productions of the Titanic, anything that was connected to the Titanic. And I think I figured out the ratio of how many people were connected to it through this astrological signature. It was around 93%.
That's insane.
Yeah. It's called a collective event where everybody is drawn to that point in time, you know, and, you know, all people from all walks of life went on the Titanic, all sorts of nationalities were on that ship. And so finding all of those things, and the cool thing is I found a website that had everybody's birth date on it. I couldn't believe that, you know, going back 100 years to try to find people's birth information, if that would be impossible. It wasn't, it was really rather easy. So I had to figure out every single, you know, chart to look at a particular, if you know about astrology, there are degrees and signs, you know, and between the 19th and the 24th degree of Capricorn, Cancer, Aries and Libra. Those are cardinal signs. That's where the signs would be placed, about 24 degrees range, okay, you know, out of 360. So yeah, you're whittling down the odds of it actually happening by picking and choosing a small amount, a small thing within a small area.
Yeah.
So I suddenly got on this book thing really quick. It was, you know, that was my first foray into writing a book and an astrological book too. And I'm working on another one right now, which is cool. So yeah, you know, and the creativity of it all is that, I mean, I came from very creative parents. Both my parents were artists and they were both musical performers.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So it came naturally through the genes. And so it was interesting because astrology is extremely creative in the way people do it. Everybody does it a little bit differently, you know, and I happen to find that back to point one, I tend to go over and around and come back to it. Point one, which is forensic astrology, was very much along the lines with what I love to do in life, and that's to decode a mystery about person. So, yeah.
Okay. I love that. And for our listeners that don't know, so the book is called Titanic Astrology, Grand Design of a Famous Shipwreck.
That's correct.
And I've looked into it for a little bit, and it's wildly dense. There is so much information packed in there.
Well, and I'm the book?
I've been looking at it online. I found a few free chapters and things like that.
Good.
So I was like,
it's really out of print. I was wondering where'd you get it? Just in case
I've been trying to find it, and there's some stuff on there is one on Amazon. It seems like there's a little bit, you know, delayed
delivery. Yeah, it's under used bookstores type of thing. So
yeah.
Right. Okay. Oh, good.
Because I was going to say, because it's an older book, and that's one of the things that is really fascinating. So I know a lot of people have gotten into astrology and, you know, more of the mystical, esoteric aspects of, you know, spirituality and life purely because of the technological inclusion of it. But you're doing this before and doing all this research before where you're, I'm assuming, hand drawing and hand mapping out everyone's chart.
Well, not really. I started astrology 30 years ago, and that was while, you know, astrology was becoming computerized. That was at that point, it was already computerized.
Wow.
So I never learned how to construct a chart by hand. I probably should have, but I keep hearing I should.
Oh, I didn't even know it went back that long. See, that's the thing. I'm still a newbie in the whole astrological scene. So it's exciting to talk with you about this stuff because you do have a vast trove of knowledge about it. And
great.
I guess when bringing it back to the book, what was kind of the main event that everyone was having in their lives that drew them to this, you know, shipwreck? Like, what was the reading in the chart that really like caught your eye that you're like, oh, wow, there's more to this?
Well, I know what it was. And it was the movie that came out in 1998. That's when it started, when I started to do it. And I was interested in the whole event itself, not really knowing that I was interested in it. I just thought, when I was really young, I saw pictures of it and I thought, oh, gave me the willies looking at it. For some reason, I didn't know why, but so I sort of, you know, started looking into it. I went to an astrological conference that was here in 1998, and a friend of mine talked about the astrology of the Titanic. You know, I thought, wow, that's something I want to go see. And so she brought up a whole bunch of people's charts that she'd gotten their information from, and she pulled them up. And I wrote, basically, I just took notes the whole way. I took all, you know, took their chart information down so I could check them later on my own computer, you know, and that's when I started to notice something, you know, that was about 6 months before I started doing the book. And about the end of the year that year, I pulled it back out. I didn't want to look at it the time I was doing it. It was just too much. But when I came back to it, this thing kept jumping out at me in the chart. It was like, what? Okay, right in front of me. That's a thing I notice about how my creativity works. If I'm looking at somebody's, I was looking at your chart earlier. We'll have to do your chart here in a second. But there's just something that jumps out at me, you know, something that's either really big or it's a theme in the person's life. It's something that I spend a lot of time talking to a client about, you know. Yeah. And so with you, I'm bringing up right now.
Let's get it.
You're Mr. Jupiter Man. Okay. You know about that?
No. And see, that's why I'm like, I have no idea.
Well, you're very Jupiterian personality, I can tell. The planet Jupiter is out there, you know, after just before the planet Saturn in the orbit, and it's big and it's abundant and it's goofy and it's silly. And that's basically what the Jupiter function in the birth chart has to do with broadcasting.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
That's so funny.
Broadcasting, writing, you know, writing books, philosophy. It's stuff that, and you are basically talking about doing something that expands your creative side. Well, that's Jupiter. Okay. So you came into this lifetime with that kind of awareness. We have Jupiter in Leo, which is, you probably were a star in a previous life, you know, like to be center stage, that kind of thing. And you still do. And you have several places in the chart that indicate you're under Jupiterian rule. So what I would do if I were you is to get a big picture of Jupiter from the internet, print it, stick it on your refrigerator door. It's your mantra.
Okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so wild.
Yeah. Jupiter is a really positive planet. It's not negative. It's actually the ruler of Sagittarius. You have Sagittarius rising in your chart. Also have a ninth house, three planets. That's the house of Jupiter. Plus your south node next to Jupiter again. You know, it's a theme that's running through many parts of your life. So, I mean, whatever you can do to have fun, get goofy, get silly, and expand your brain as you're doing it.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Like the for me, the one that really hit the heartstrings was the creative philosophical aspect, where it's that's the inquisitiveness has always kind of been a drive in my life. And I just like, just naturally. See, so that's the forensic astrology aspect. You can really dig deep into someone's experiences without really talking with them first and kind of get a good profile. Like, how does that impact someone's life when they gain this perspective in terms of your work working with different clients?
I think it helps me with a starting point. Yeah. You know, where do I, it's because I look at a chart, it's like a swimming pool. You just dive into the middle of it. Well, not really, but you know, there's a point at which I'm going to start, you know, talking about them, you know, in the reading that I'm doing, and I'm looking for something that draws my attention, that is taking attention, you know, that takes your attention, takes my attention. Okay. So the first thing I noticed use your chart as an example. I only looked at your chart maybe 10 minutes ago, and I know this much about you now. It's interesting because when you have a major theme that's playing out, it's playing out in many areas of your life, and it governs how you pretty much look at life. Because the ninth house where your Sun and Mercury and Venus are have to do with your philosophical point of view and your belief system.
Wow. It's so how many houses are there in total, first off?
12.
Okay, yeah. So for each sign. So the ninth house in that sense represents what then? Yeah,
it's just the first house before the next house, which is the career house. And each house incrementally moves outward in it's an arena of life that life is playing out on. Yeah. Okay, so if you have stuff in your first house, that's you. And you got Uranus there, so you're kind of weird. Okay, we know that. But, you know, it's your first house, you know, kind of wacky. But it's also in aspect to your Mercury or your Sun, which makes you on the alternative side of subject matter to do on a show like this. So it's perfect. Oh. Okay. Yeah, you like things that help celebrate the individual, you know. Somebody who is trying to find themselves somehow. What are the few things that you can say to a person to help them find themselves? I'm going to look in a lot of different places, but if there's, like I said, like your chart, which really is a dominant theme in your life, that's where you find yourself. You find yourself going there all the time. You like playing there. It's passionate for you. It's all those things that mean something to you. Okay. So did that answer your question?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I just don't, like, we can get back to that, the ninth house aspect. What was that point that you were saying again in terms of the governance with all those different components in it?
Oh, okay.
We got sidetracked, I think.
Okay, so each of the houses has a meaning to it, okay?
Yeah.
Area of life where you live it, okay? So like, for instance, if you had a pile of stuff in the fourth house, which I will show you here, is right there. You see that?
Yeah.
That would be your house of your mom and your family and your environment that you grew up in, and how important family would be to you. So, because it's usually something that people mention first, you know, the things that are really important to them are the things that are where the planets show up in the chart, and wherever the planets are, that's where they're doing their duty. You know, so you have, say, okay, you right next to it, you have Moon and Pisces in the third. Okay. Third house is intellectual and it's communication. So it's important that you have an intellectual communication with people, but you got to have the underlying intuition. So most of the time you don't have to say stuff that you want to say to stuff to people. You just do it by osmosis.
Love it. Yeah. I love it. And I guess that's the thing, is in terms of analyzing the different charts of varying people, as kind of like this healer role works, how has it kind of helped you uncover more aspects about your own chart and your own life and understanding of astrology?
It's been an enormous turn and journey for me, because before that I was going through psychotherapy for a long time. And I was getting value out of it, but as soon as I had a reading with a friend of mine. I was doing a business way back in 1990 when I started doing this. And he wanted my chart information. I said, why do you want that? It's going to run your astrological chart. I said, what's that? And then he brought it to our first meeting and he told me all about me. And I just said, how could you know any of that? I mean, I'm the type of person that says, if somebody knows more about me than I do, then I want to find out what that is. Okay.
Yeah.
Psychological side in me. Okay. So I found out that, you know, I found out so much about myself that I basically quit therapy. I said, I walked in one day, I said, I'm out of here. I'm healed, you know, because astrology helps you with every area of your life, why it's working, why it's not working, and how you can make it work. So, yeah.
Incredibly important, you know, because I always like to remind people that this is how society used to work. You know, they used to really understand the stars and our relation with them and our incarnations coming here. And that's how they would pick generals. That's how they would pick, you know, the scribes, like literally every aspect of like ancient society revolved around like, okay, well, what are you going to be more prone to? Let's get them conditioned to this area so they can really bring out themselves.
Yeah. You know, what I found out about the Titanic and the times that it happened back in, you know, the late or beginning of last century, was that was a very spiritual time in our existence. That was the spiritualist movement was right around then. And a lot of people were going to see psychics and astrologers to find out what was going to happen in their life. That was normal. You know, even J.P. Morgan did that. You know, remember that thing that he said?
Yeah. Billionaires don't use astrology. Billionaires do.
Right. You know, and he actually had one astrologer who was phenomenal. Her name was Evangeline Adams. And she was just extraordinarily psychic. I mean, way beyond, you know, something. I'm relatively psychic. I tend to use things, you know, the symbols of what I'm seeing to add it up to get a certain psychological dynamic going on. And, you know, and that I hope helps people a lot when we do that. But sometimes I'll get some real strong, you know, intuitive empathic stuff. I'm a Pisces. I really can't help it. You know, it's kind of the last sign, and we're a combination of all 12, and we're also supposedly the most psychic of all signs. And I've kind of, you know, my dad was a psychic, so he and I never talked that much, but we sure understood each other. Didn't matter. So
yeah, that deeper intuitional knowing just kind of comes through the heart.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the fascinating aspect about it. You know, you touch on this point of that astrology through this psychological lens. And I'm just curious, in terms of your application of that, like, when did you come into this kind of understanding of the practice and assimilating your own perspective into it, using that?
Well, certainly by applying it to myself. It was, I think it had a lot to do with the part of astrology where you're learning about the predictive side, how to use it predictively. And I had a friend who was doing a reading for me, and this was before I ever knew astrology. And he said, I can see in your chart here that it looks like you're going to split up with your husband. At that time, I didn't know that, but he was right. It happened. And but there was also other things going on. There was an aspect of the planet Pluto coming up to conjunct my Mars. And I, you know, normally that would be scary to most people. But because my Mars has rulership over my career, I have to do things my way and be the first out of the chute to do it type of thing. I found that out by just looking at my own chart and seeing what the midheaven was doing with Aries up there. So it was like something I had to find out. That was the occasion where I really learned about myself, you know, through a specific action. And I learned all about what I was very passionate about, which is Mars too, you know. And so Mars helped me find really who I was and what I wanted to do in my life. This is a calling that I'm doing. I'm not doing this because I wanted to do it or I was seeking it. I probably would have wanted to do it anyway, even if I knew I wanted to do it. But it's just reached out and just pulled me in. That's it.
Yeah.
The thing that's exciting about astrology is sitting in a class and talking about certain people and their charts and really kind of looking to see what the bottom line issue, the underlying issue, if they have problems in their lives, where is it that it all stems from someplace in your childhood? All comes from someplace there.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and the thing is that if you look at the person's present activity and behavior, you can trace it back really easy. You know, they say, well, that was his mother. Well, that was his father. Oh, that was a brother and sister or something, you know, but most of the time people don't know that stuff about themselves. They don't, you know, so that's kind of what I do with people.
Yeah. And I find that that's one of the coolest things about, you know, the healing process and this varying journey in spirituality is that all of these different practices, you know, these mystical arts, the esotericism, like they're all connected, you know, and the more you understand each realm, the better it is. You kind of get everything else that happens. So for me, I find that that's one of the areas that I'm starting to really look into because, you know, I do a lot of one-on-one healing, you know, and again, it comes back to the childhood, like where did these manifestations, these effects really begin their origin? Where did these causal forces come from? And it's, you know, that unfoldment process has definitely gained some, I've gained some deeper understanding and clarity in my own experiences and in others through kind of looking through the astrological aspects of these things. So that's why I'm like really giddy to chat with you today, because there's so much personal application that you can really do to empower yourself and I wouldn't say like to not see it as like a something so static that it's going to be exactly this, you're going to always live through this, but it's these, I've seen it as almost like a strategy guide where it's just like, these are issues that like your experience, you came here to kind of solve these problems.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Here they are.
And I've confronted a lot of my own problems in astrology. Let me tell you that, and I've warned people when I've taught classes to people, I said, I have to warn you, give you a pre thing. You don't want to do astrology unless you want to find out about yourself, because you can't help it. And even the stuff you don't want to know about, you'll find out about, you know, the dark stuff and all that stuff. But the thing about it is when you find out about it, you find out about it from an observational point of view. That doesn't really make you wrong or say you're terrible for having, everybody's got a dark side. Okay. Everybody does, you know, and we can look at anybody's chart and see where that is too, you know? So, you know, wherever Pluto is sitting in your chart, that's where it is, you know? So it's really interesting to talk to people who think astrology is one way, you know, just the sun sign stuff and that's it. It's like so, it's incrementally more huge than that. It's so huge, you know, and I don't think that any astrologer ever really ever learns all of it. We're always learning something every day about astrology. You know, the thing that I'm working on right now is a book It's called The Stationary Planet. I don't know if you ever heard of that. That's a kind of an obscure sort of astrological event. And what it has to do with is that, you know, about planets retrograding and moving forward, like Mercury, we're under Mercury retrograde right now. Yep. And then it's going to go direct on the 22nd. And then we also have Neptune that's will go retrograde on the 23rd back to back. You know, so that means in a sense that the planets from our perspective on Earth start to move backwards, you know, and it just moves backwards through the sign and by degrees they move backwards. Now, there is a point, though, where the planet is moving forward and it's going to change direction and go that way. And in between that point, there's a point where it stops literally in the sky because it's slowing down, slowing down, slowing down. And then it goes, that way. Okay, but it doesn't really do that because it's from our Earth's perspective. It's our orbit that's dictating that. So the point at which the planet is shifting directions when it is still in the sky is when it's stationary. Okay, and that basically means, and I thought, well, I think we have retrograde, we have direct, and then we have stationary. Okay, that's another aspect we don't know about. You know, we have to add another one to the pile that we're learning about, right? Okay, so is that special? Okay, is that a special signature? Well, come to find out, it's incredibly special. So I'm writing about these people that have a stationary planet. By the way, you have one. I looked it up.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, you do. Neptune is stationary in your chart. And Neptune is the high spiritual, visual, artistic, musician, all of that stuff that has to do with the flips. It's the right side of the brain. Okay. Whatever happens over there is highly creative. So when you have Neptune stationary, I have another friend who's stationary, who is an incredible performer, and he designs textiles, puts his own print on them and everything. But a Neptune stationary is somebody that has to, there's good and bad about it. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's wonderfully creative and just amazing. By the way, one person who had it was Amy Winehouse. Okay.
Oh, interesting.
And she had a really, and just an amazing ear for stuff. She just could hear stuff that most people couldn't. But she also had the bad side of it, and that was the addiction and the, you know, the abuse of drugs and alcohol. That's also Neptune. You know, there's a that's the dark side of Neptune. The light side is the creative side. So she had a real difficult time with drugs and alcohol, and it was her whole life was like that. And she kind of got off on the wrong track. But that's very easy for somebody with a stationary Neptune to do.
So what is the stationary force mean in terms of, like, if it was like a retrograde versus not?
Okay, good question. Very good question. Okay, when it's a stationary retrograde, when it's about to retrograde back, then it's a little different than stationary direct, which means it's been stationary and it's moving direct. Okay.
Okay.
Completely different in expression. It seems to me, and this is something that I've researched for a while, that once it's stationary direct, the person has had it in previous lifetimes retrograde, which means retrograde means you're going backwards and looking at things again and again. It's sort of, if you take a reword, every reword applies to that. Review, and on and on and on. Means you're going back over something that has been gone over already once, and you'll go back over it again until you get it. And so the retrograde, stationary retrograde, is harder to do because you're learning the lessons this lifetime of how to do the planet right and to really experience those positive things. But you'll have to go through the dark side too. You know, it means the dark side has to be approached too, because there's a, like I said, there's a dark side of every single planet. I mean, Pluto has a really bright side. It's enormously transformational, but then it's the hooker in the gutter too. It's a flip opposite, you know, it's really horrible. It can be really bad. So, So, yes, I'm glad you asked me. That was a very good question, because there's some, a severe difference. And when a planet is going stationary retrograde to direct, that means they are going to take the information they got through the retrograde process and take it out there and use it in the world. They already learned the lessons, so they can access it and use it out physically in the world. So it's not so much that they're learning about it. They've already learned about it.
Yeah.
They're going to do something with it.
So how do you determine if it's a direct or a retrograde? Because for me, again, for like as a rookie for myself, I look at it and I'm just like, oh, that's 11 degrees 49 in Capricorn. What does that mean?
Okay, let me tell you about this. Okay, what's stationary direct for you? So you're being...
That makes a lot of sense.
That makes sense to me. You know, if you're doing a stationary retrograde, it means you're going to be going into the closet. We won't be seeing you for 1,000 years. You know, because you're learning about the personal aspect of it, and it means that you're not going to, a lot of people are not going to see that process, just you. You know, but when you have it direct, it means you're doing this, you're doing it out here in the world. Look, you're doing this show, you know, and it's all about creativity. And this makes perfect sense to me that you would have this, because Neptune is all about creativity.
Yeah, it's interesting again, because it's like I see that and I just seen the theme echo so much. And, you know, Rusty and myself have both met with an Akashic reader. Shout out Mary Beth. You'll be on the show soon. I believe that. But it's one of those things where it was kind of revealed through that. One of the roles here that I feel comfortable revealing to people is that, you know, spiritual Johnny Appleseed, teaching people the power of manifestation and creativity. Yeah. And really enjoying the playground that this experience can be.
Yeah.
And kind of conquering things. So it's so, and that's again, the more I understand about all the different components of, you know, these intangible aspects of life, the more it just validates everything that has like personally happened, the different downloads that I've received. And I think that's the coolest thing about, you know, the work that astrologers like yourself do is you really do give people a compass to kind of navigate their own turbulence and to awaken things that they might not feel comfortable or confident in. But yeah, it's like in their heart, it's that deep yearning that they didn't realize they've always had.
That's right. I mean, there are certain things, the transit I was telling you about, there are certain transits that are not very pretty, you know, and particularly a Pluto transit going over the sun or the moon or something like that, that's going to kind of rip them up one side down the other as emotionally, because moon is about emotions. So when that happens, it's the thing that when I see that about to happen to a person and it hasn't happened yet, I go, well, let me see. How can I be gentle? Well, your life's going to suck for a while. But here's the good news is that when you know it's supposed to suck, it sucks less.
Yeah. True, you know, though. You're really aware of it.
Yeah. I mean, if you're aware of it, you can say, oh, well, okay, that's just my Pluto transit that's doing that. I've got this, all this stuff. So when they realize that there are certain things in their life that are going to show up with certain types of qualities, they won't resist them. They'll say, okay, I'm supposed to be working on this right now. This is what I'm going to do. And it may be hard, but I can do it. You know, and like, I know I have the same thing right now. I'm having a huge major transit and it's a Neptune going over my sun, which is the ruler of my sun sign, you know, Pisces, and your moon too. Yeah. And it's also opposing my moon. So it's kind of like all this crazy stuff. It is like half the time I'm so zooed out in my head. I don't know where I am. It's typical Pisces. You probably have the same problem with your moon and Pisces in the third. Like, where is your brain, Sonny? You know, off in the universe somewhere. But it is very hard to, you know, tell people, well, this is natural. I'm sorry, but, you know, I can't help it. But the transit for me has like upped my own psychic ability, which I had a feeling it would. Yeah. Mm. And makes sense too. So I've been seeing things from, and I'm doing this book is really hard at this point because I have to do conceptual work on this book. I can't do stuff that's based in fact, like the Titanic was. It was very well documented as far as the history of it, all the people on the ship, and, you know, also timeline, you know, history, which is what I needed for the astrology. You know, it was fairly easy to research, but this one, there isn't much written about it. So I got to go through and make it up as I go along, you know, and that's kind of how the creative side works. Like, how, what is this saying? Well, it's peace, peace, and peace. Okay, put this together. What does that say? That means those are going to be certain qualities about a person with a stationary planet, you know, and they definitely have, like, there's a, it's a planet that acts like a branding iron in your chart. It's like everything else in your life could just go sit by the sideline and this planet will come out shining and it'll be the center stage, basically. And that's the amazing thing. You know, like my friend Ray, he's written about this too. He says, you know how you meet people, you have their chart and nothing they're doing fits their chart at all. And but then they've got a stationary planet and that's what it is. You have to look under the surface to find this. You know, so if it's somebody that's really obvious, you know, has got an obvious quality like a Jupiter or you know, Jupiter's really a well, for you it's Neptune, but Neptune is, you know, Neptune is connected to Jupiter astrologically. It's so you're gonna see benefits from Jupiter from Neptune as well. So do you do any sort of performing?
Not yet. I mean, I have done in the past, but it's definitely something that I'm currently working on a few projects that I'm going to be.
Keep doing it because you'll be great at it. You know, you won't know where it comes from, but what the heck? Who cares?
Yeah. Well, that's the funny thing about, you know, when you look into all these things, it just brings me back to that point of when you have done the healing work, these natural expressions of kind of the personality, because one of the ways that I like to interpret things just for listeners in terms of, you know, astrology is like, in especially in kind of bringing in like incarnation, is that's like the imprint that your soul personality is going to receive when you come in through here, you know, and because of that, when you work through all the traumas and obstacles, you kind of open up all the goodie bags from each one. And so it's like, then you just awaken into more and more things that are awesome, you know? So for me, I did a really big spiritual search, you know, younger, had a lot of chaos in my early youth. But I learned from all of it. And I've just kind of been like, it almost feels like a wild stallion just getting let open into the plains. Like you went through all the things and now it's just like, oh, I can just enjoy the playground now, you know?
Then you let the horse out of the barn, you know, and it's going to go running and flying through the, you know, the meadow. But the thing I was just thinking about your chart, you're talking about healing, I think, with your hands. You're natural for that. You know, looking at the Pisces in your third, the third house is the hands. Mm. It's the house of Gemini, which rules the hands. Okay. And this is emotional. So, and Pisces is the ability to, you know, not even touch somebody and you feel their energy come through you. So you can heal 100%. Automatically. Yeah.
And it's funny because I was, I can't remember when this was. It was a while back, but it was talking with like someone, one of my friends was getting like palm reading, and I have one of those rare, like my heart line goes all the way across my hand.
Oh, I see that. Yeah.
And it's for both. So it's one of those things where it's like the capacity that I feel, that's one of the centers that I'm really tapped in with, and just my own search and just the radiating from it. So it's, see, even when you say the energy stuff, I was just like, yeah, I feel that. I've had to learn to protect myself because I used to be the very like, why am I feeling this way? Never used to know. And I'm like, oh yeah.
I mean, you would go through all the time. Why am I feeling this? And also you're feeling everybody's stuff. Okay. And the thing about that is that when you feel it, it's like, there's no real way to shut it down, you know, so you can, when you come along, somebody you don't want their energy to mix with yours. You have to know intuitively whether it's right or it's wrong to do that. So you know what I do is that if I come along somebody who wants a healing, a physically healing, I will ask the universe, is this okay to do this? And I usually know whether it is or isn't. And intuitively, you'll usually know. But, you know, that's the thing about the Pisces archetype. It's mixed in with everybody. There's no difference between you and everybody else, you know. And, you know, so... when you're in a crowd of, one of the things I know, when you're in a crowd of people and doing a party, that would really bother you because you can get everybody's energy. It just comes and sticks on you, you know, and you have to walk away for a while and put yourself, if you don't live by water, you should.
Yeah, no, I definitely do.
Or at least have a bathtub. You could create a lake in the bathtub, you know, or something, you know. So that's something that will nurture you and nourish you to be around water. So
see right there, an intuitional thing, which is the heart yearning. And when I went to school back east, UMass Amherst, middle of like Western Massachusetts farmlands. And that's one of the things that when I came back from school, I was always like, for the rest of my life, I need to be near water. Didn't know why. You know, just so you even say that now, it's just like, wow, like check.
Of course. And when you get by it, there's an instant calm.
Yeah.
Just release it really quick. Yeah, that's exactly right. And I, you know, I am too, being a Pisces, born and raised in Seattle. It's a perfect place for somebody who's a seagoing person to live and to have their life. So I would never move from here. I couldn't do it. I, you know, one time I went down to Sedona, Arizona, where there's no water at all. You know, except for some of the rivers there. But I had to get out of there. I couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was kind of cool with all the vortexes and stuff, but there was no water, nothing there to nurture me. So
in terms of your astrological journey, what really got you into it?
Okay. This is kind of a semi-long story, but I'll tell you really quick. This is back in 1990. I was doing another type of business. I was, you know, speaking of creative and artistic, I thought, well, I was doing that business. Oh yeah, that's right. I was dressing people professionally, creatively, you know, creating clothes on them, you know, whatever was the best. And that was something to do back in the 90s type of thing, image consulting. And so I did that for about 5 years, and I was coming to an end of it. You know, I knew that. Mm-hmm. And then at that point I had, you know, I was working with one guy who basically, you know, he said, well, you know, he got my chart information from me, and he did my chart, and I was pretty amazed by it. But the thing of it is that I asked him, is there a book I can read about this in? A book, one book, you know, not the smartest thing to say. But no, he said there really isn't, because there's hundreds of thousands of books on astrology, you know, all types. I said, okay, I was going to try to learn it through one, and I didn't. And so it's complicated. Mathematically, it's complicated. It's sort of like looking at geometry or trigonometry type of thing. Yeah. It's complicated. So I started to learn about it from the periphery around it. I found a place that taught classes, and I did that.
Oh,
and
cool.
And that was kind of fun. And then about 6 months later, I think about 6 or 9 months later, it was in September that year, I had somebody ask me if they could get a reading with me. I went, me? Said, well, you know more than we do. I said, well, maybe, but it turned out to be a really good thing to do. And it didn't frighten me that much. It kind of excited me to do it. So I kind of came around it through the back door. And then I start doing all the things that astrologers do. They get their computer program on their computer and going to various astrology events, joining astrological associations, and going to here. We have a NORWAC conference. It was just last weekend, I think. It's still on virtual, but next year it won't be, which will be good. I can go back to that. But it's a Northwest Astrological Conference. It's been going on for 35 years.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of opportunities in this area to take advantage of if you're interested in becoming an astrologer. And I teach astrology, too, and also beginning classes and also learning how to be an astrologer. Because, I kind of went about it in a natural way. I just kind of put one foot in front of the other and just went that way. But at some point I had some teachers that were extraordinary said I'd be an amazing astrologer, and I said, okay, I can accept that. I can do that. All right. And I did, and you know, all the rest is, as they say, is supposedly history. But you know, it was the most natural thing in the world for me to do, because it's very close to music, and I was born and raised a musician. I have a degree in music. Yeah. And astrology and music are on parallel courses. It's because you really, and when you look at it, the notation for astrology and the notation for music all it is symbolism anyway. You read the music and you interpret it, right?
Yeah, I love it.
And interpret it, right? You know, yeah. And I'd already done the music part, so this seemed like a real natural thing for me to do. So I hope that answered your question.
Oh, 100%. And it's really, it's cool, though, because it brings up another point of discussion, the sense of, you know, the creative aspect to it in the sense of expression like music, where, you know, you did briefly talk on the fact, you know, you have a lot of intuitive psychic aspects. How does that come in? And what do you really experience when you receive this, you know, these insights when you're doing a reading?
Okay. It's like I think I told you a little bit before what I look for in a chart, you know, what for
yeah, different, like,
jump out at me.
Yeah.
And sometimes it'll be so, your chart just like flew out at me, hit me in the face, you know? And I said, well, that's pretty good, because one of the things, the criteria that I use is that if you look at what we call the North Lunar Node, that shows where the purpose of the person is to have, to manifest this lifetime, you know, but it's usually a road they haven't traveled down. So the South Lunar Node, which is a little thing that looks like this, North Lunar Node looks like that, looks like horseshoes on the computer, and one's an opposite point to the other. And so the South Node is where you've been comfortably in previous lives that you just know how to do. You don't have to worry about it. North Node is where you least know. It's what you're least familiar with, or that you have no experience whatsoever. I remember one time I was talking to a client and I said, this is your North Node. He says, I am so afraid of doing that. I don't have any experience there. I said, well, that's right. You know,
interesting.
It's what you're supposed to do if it scares you to death, you know, and it does scare a lot of people to take their North Node pathway. So, yeah. And so it's something that I've had dramatic situations where I'm, especially there was one I remember about 25 years ago where I was reading this guy's chart. It was so intensely negative that I didn't even want to look at it.
Wow.
And I found out that this woman's son was in prison and he had murdered somebody. And I thought, well, okay, that's there for sure. And the thing about it is I don't like to make generalities about certain signs, but Scorpio is usually right at the top there for things like that. You know, for hidden, dark, mysterious things. That's just kind of how it works.
Yeah.
So, you know, and so it's kind of it's just something that, you know, I'll usually know ahead of time when I'm looking at somebody and I'm listening to them talk and they're talking about their lives. And so I tend to think in astrological terms. Mm. You know, when I'm listening to somebody talk, I can categorize them astrologically, and then I look up on the chart and confirm it.
Interesting.
It's weird.
Yeah. But those are the things that it does pick up, and it's these, and I think that's one of the things where it comes back to the point of, if you don't kind of conquer these aspects of what you came here to overcome,
right,
those natural expressions will dominantly and kind of subconsciously rule you. And I think that's the magic about astrology, is that it does reveal these avenues in which you can grow.
Absolutely.
I like that.
You know, what's cool about that is that if you have, if you're an astrologer like myself and you have a bunch of clients in a row and they all have the same damn theme in them, you go, okay, what am I learning about here? This isn't just them. It's me too. Okay.
Yeah.
The habit is something that I have to look at, and it usually is. So, you know, it's funny how that works. I go, no, that's not me. I don't. And I go, yeah, shut up. You know better than that to say that, you know. So it's usually a pattern of some kind in my life that I need to deal with, you know. And so, yeah, it's pretty amazing. Astrology is a great mirror, you know, it really is. Now, since you're a Libra, we can talk about mirrors for you. Yeah, mirror is your middle name. You know, you're basically, you really don't have that, you don't really know who the heck you are until you find somebody that mirrors you back to yourself.
Yeah.
You know? You gotta have that mirror, always has to be there, because whenever they tell you something, it's not just about them, it's about you too.
Yeah, and self-reflection has always been a key for that.
Yeah, and through other people.
Yeah. No, yeah. I totally relate to that in terms of the upbringing and just the different people who I was around. And it all led me to that point of this revelation where I really did take the search seriously of like, who am I? And yeah. then went deep into the, like the meditative spiritual waters to, you know, yeah. to fall into the grace that is now.
A question, and then God goes, okay, we've been waiting for you to ask that question. Just come with me. I'll show you the way.
Yeah, and then you're like,
it's really true, though. You know, yeah. So I know that right now I'm learning about the real spiritualized side of life, you know, and and how things are just, they're really where they're supposed to be right now. I don't have to mess with it. So yeah. I'm going to. So,
yeah. Well, that's one of the cool things that I'm curious to kind of dive into you with is, you know, you talk about patterns and themes, and I do know that there has been a lot of really unique and rare astrological events these past year, 2 years now. Yeah. And we're still kind of entering a few of them now from what I'm aware of. Yeah. So have you almost been able to kind of foresee and foreshadow all the chaos that we've been through for this yeah. like everything going on?
Depending on the planet, you know, and is what you're looking at are the transits, the planets that are transiting in the sky right now to see what they're doing. So, I mean, if we look at what's going on right now, for instance, let me find a chart here of what's going on. I don't know offhand. Oh, look in my that's the wrong ephemeris. I got to have mixed centuries. So right now, Saturn is in sign of Aquarius, which is good. Jupiter was just in Aquarius, went into Pisces. That's going to be interesting. The interesting thing that was talked about by a bunch of astrologers, saying, I think we're probably going to be discovering that UFOs are very real. That's what's going on right now. Have you seen that in the news?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, sure. That makes total sense because Jupiter and Neptune, kind of, you're dealing with the outer parameters of the world, and then you go beyond into the subconscious. You go into the psychic stuff, you know. Mm. And so this is stuff that it seems to be that our psychic abilities are getting better, but also they are changing us so that when they start asking questions like, who am I really? What was my purpose here? That's, you know, that's when things, you know, are start to really break to another level, because you're just getting tired of looking at sick and at the same stuff over and over again, you know? So like last year and a half ago, that was in 2019, the planet Saturn and Pluto came together. And that doesn't happen every, I don't know, like 50 years, something like that. And I'm trying to remember I think it's something like that. Well, these two came together in Capricorn, and it was difficult. But one of the things that was mentioned online, especially in the people, astrological circles that I'm on in Facebook, says we're going to predict a pandemic. Because it's time that it happens. And it did, you know, it did right when Pluto and Saturn became right next to each other. That's when it started. So unfortunately, that's a part of our history, you know, and how we deal with it is, you know, when the 1918 Spanish flu, you know, pandemic started, that was right around that same type of time too, you know, and Pluto and Saturn were in opposition at that point. So the thing that's kind of cool is being able to take our history of our society, you know, depending on which society you're looking at, whether it's, you know, United States or whatever country, and looking at where we are on the evolutionary scale as a collective group, you know, and we can usually tell that from the outer planets, Neptune, Pluto, and Uranus will tell us that. So, because, you know, Uranus, when it moves into a new sign after 8.5 years, that's going to tell us where we're going to start making breakthroughs, you know, break through to a new level of consciousness, but also break past the Saturnian archetype, which is this staid, slow, and conservative way to do things. So, and when it comes up to Uranus says is freedom from the known, not the unknown, but the known.
Yeah, you know, see
how that works.
Yeah.
So when it is moving past, you know, something that has been already set in stone in society, something will come along and break it up. That's Uranus's job. That's what it does. you know, and you have a North Node and Aquarius, I might add, that which is ruled by Uranus. So the work that you're doing with this network you're doing is breaking free to new levels of consciousness that people haven't explored yet. Basically, that's all you're doing through the creative process. Yeah. You know, and that's basically how you get to it anyway. You have to get through it through the right part of your brain, because that's where the right brain is connected to.
And that's the stuff that I love, because I find that when we look at, you know, our history and like ancient knowledge, this is really the real reason why I find that there has been such a stigma on all of these different practices, right? Is because it all leads to self-empowerment. It brings us into this understanding of, you know, unified consciousness, to this oneness component. And I think that's always when we look at, like, you know, the nefarious things of our world and all the information that's been hidden. I mean, it's like, yeah, tools that can liberate us from these traps and to awaken to who we really are and what we are together. Like that's why, like, again, the more I learn about this stuff, like, the cooler it is.
Oh, I know. You know, when you look at the way society is right now, it is up against some real difficult stuff. There's so many things that have come up from that that are trying to be dealt with. We're dealing with, getting out of this pandemic, you know, without too many people lost, and we're almost there. But, you know, it'd be nice to feel free again. But anyway, that's part of it. But when we have a whole lot of things in our society that is just keep running up against a wall, and the wall is not breaking, because it's ridiculous that they're going into that wall. Okay, they have to find a different route. Okay, yeah. You know, and that's the thing about human beings, that they can actually find a different route that will help them. You know, and one of the things they can do is get involved with other people, because if the way you get stuck is to be stuck in yourself without having any input from outside.
Powerful. Okay. Facts. Facts of life on all aspects.
Get another perspective in there. Somebody who knows what they're thinking about, and see how we can change a person's perspective, you know? And so it's kind of like we're at this thing right now. And let me tell you that astrologically, you know, tomorrow we're going to be talking about this on the show. We're going to be talking about a thing called a Pluto return. That's a Pluto return is the planet's movement around the sun and on how long it takes. It takes 248 years to go around the sun. Pluto is slow and it's way the heck out there. But when we discovered Pluto, it was just about 248 years ago. So this year, at the end of the year, is the United States Pluto return after 240 years. Now, Pluto is notorious for breaking up society and is going to bring out people that from the dark side that were really sneaky and dirty, and like certain politicians we've seen that are really kind of covert. But it could end up that we have a complete dissolution of our government and our society. That's very possible during this time, because everything that is associated with being our country is going to crash. Okay, yeah. It could be financially, it could mean, you know, governmentally, it could be, you know, everything is going to be attached to that. I can see that stuff starting to happen now, you know.
New systems being redone. Exactly. And, you know, it's funny because I've had a very deep intuitional knowing for most of my life that, like, everything that we've had is kind of built on this foundation of mud, really just to see, like, hiding things from the people. And, like, I find that because of technology, we're at this point now where we could either go that route of the Borg, you know, or we could really transform society to this full, I mean, I guess you would say, bringing that heaven on earth, so to speak, where it's like we all have accessible means to everything we ever need. We can really change things. But because of that, institutions are going to have to get gutted and changed. So, and again, like, what are the odds that we're going through all this right now, and it's 240 something years later down the road, and all that's happening
and we're heading right into it right now.
It's wild.
You know, and when you look at the behavior of the planet, the way it's going right now, it's a little messed up. Okay, every part, and a lot of people are facing the COVID pretty strongly in other countries. But, you know, that's a part of a pandemic thing that's being finished off with the Pluto-Saturn thing. you know, and that could kill a lot of people too. So I really don't know. I want to stay positive, but there on the other side of it is an immense amount of enlightenment taking place, you know, and if you can do it now, you know, while you're still here, you'll be able to help people when they're coming up against the same issues themselves. So that's kind of what I'm aiming to do. I'm kind of shifting my business a bit, you know, so that if people are really in crisis about whatever it is they're going through, I want to talk to them about their chart and see what it is we can help them do to heal that and have them be more productive.
Yeah. See, that rings so true to what I feel is, you know, all the light workers and healers is everyone's been getting activated for this knowing, like this knowing that we've all kind of known has been coming up. But then when I always look at it in hindsight, I'm just like, okay, so this is literally what life has been bringing us for.
Yes,
it's been coaching us up for. And, you know, it's the more we've dive into these things, the more we unlock our abilities and powers. And that's the, it's beautiful. I love the awakening aspect. So I was like, I see it, you know, more and more people are waking up, getting engaged, getting involved.
Yeah, I mean, you can see it kind of written in every part of the world, but the thing that's interesting is actually watching a planetary transit happen and then have it manifest something on the Earth. So as you know, they say, as above, so below. You know, so whatever's going on up there is going to happen down here. You know, and like, what was it, January 16th, what was it, 1990? That was a solar eclipse going on, and that was the day that the Gulf War started.
So speaking of eclipses, you know, we had this wild event of a lunar eclipse and then boom, like 2 weeks later, a solar eclipse. So
that happens.
Yep. What do the eclipses mean? Because my understanding is like they're almost portals or pivot points where we can really create and manifest and really like let go. And so why don't you, what's the knowledge?
Eclipses are your lunar, your new moon and your full moon, and it's intensified by 100 times when you have an eclipse. Okay, because what you're doing is you're lining up not just the sun and the moon, you're also lining up what we call the ecliptic from the moon. So you have the moon, the sun, and Earth all lining up together. And so that creates an immense gravitational pull, you know, that kind of pulls on us and pulls on the rest of the bodies too. So, you know, if you have something in your chart that says, okay, you have, I was looking at your chart to see how this eclipse affected you. So it affected your seventh house cusp. That's your relationship house. Okay. And then also it affected your moon. So your moon might have gone through some kind of changes last night. So, and you know that eclipses happen in twos every 6 months. So, you know, we know that another 6 months we'll have a couple more eclipses in sometime November, December. So, I mean, that's very typical. So some eclipses are more intense than others. If they're annular or they're partial eclipse, that means the lunar node and the planets are a ways away from each other. They're not in a direct line. So they're not, and their pull isn't as great. Okay. But last night there was an annular eclipse. That's when the planet and then the sun around it is going to have that, you know, the corona around it. Yeah. Okay, so whenever an eclipse is full, like a full lunar or full solar, that means the energy is that much more intense. By the way, the effects of an eclipse can last anywhere from 6 months up to a year in your life. So you can see things playing out from that. It will start and then will continue through the year. So eclipses are always intense. They're always watched. There's a lot of different things in astrology that we have to watch, you know, what they're doing right now up there, what the planets are doing, what the sun and moon are doing, you know, and what, say, Mercury is doing. If it's retrograde, is Venus retrograde, is Mars retrograde? All those things, you know, are all happening at some point during our lifespan, you know, and sometimes Mars retrograde is about every 2 years and a Venus retrograde is about a year and a half. So those retrograde periods are interesting when they happen. You know, we all have to go through stuff. People don't know where any of this stuff is for them. You know, don't know where to look to discover where this stuff happens for them. Chart's really a good idea to get done.
Cool. Well, and with that, Eileen, thank you so much for joining us on Creatives Chat. I'm going to have you stick around.
Okay.
And folks, stay tuned for the after show coming up. It's going to be a great one. Roll the outro.
That concludes this episode of Creatives Chat. Thank you for watching. Join us every Thursday at 3:33 p.m. Pacific Daily Time as creative minds get together and chat about who knows what. View more episodes on our YouTube channel. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Thanks again to our sponsors for making this show possible. Thank you, We Are Storically, for your conscious human apparel. Shop online at wearehistorically.com.
Hi, I'm Darius Wilrich. I'll teach you everything you need to know about playing jazz piano like a pro with my 12-week online video course and downloadable guidebook, Jazz Piano Pro Essentials. Enroll today at jazzpianopro.com.
Thank you for joining us. Have a happy always.